Good morning again and welcome. I'd like to again take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are visiting among us this morning. We're honored to have you with us in our presence this morning. And we want to extend an invitation for you to be back with us every time that you have an opportunity. I was given instructions this morning that I think I was told to be short and sweet. I think that was the specific instructions that I was given. So all I can say is I do my best. It has been mentioned a few times from this pulpit, both by David, by Tom, and I think I've even mentioned it before, the importance of maintaining our focus as we are in the worship assembly, specifically in our song service, and giving thoughtful attention to the songs that we're singing. In fact, I think it was Tom who even asked the question that if I was to stand at the back of the room at the end of service and ask you the songs that we sang during the assembly, would you be able to remember all of the songs that we sang? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to quiz you all as you leave the assembly today, but I do want to highlight the importance of why it is so vital that we maintain our focus and concentration, not only throughout the worship assembly, but pay particular attention to the songs that we're singing. In the scripture that was read in your hearing this morning in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." This verse has numerous applications that can be taken from it, but the one that I want to highlight specifically to you is one of the things that are accomplished through our singing. It's not just worship to the Lord, but it says that through our songs that we teach and admonish one another. In fact, if you think about the song selections that we had just this morning and the four songs that we've sang, and I promise I'm not going to quiz you, but I do want to highlight, we actually had a variety of songs. We had songs that were praise and honor to God, and then we also had songs that were encouragement to us as well, too. And so you can see the application of that verse just in the songs that we sang this morning. And so it is through our singing that we're also teaching one another. We're admonishing one another. We're uplifting one another. In fact, according to the context of this verse, that singing is how we continue to reinforce the things that we read in God's word, because it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom." And then it tells you through your songs. And so that's why it's vitally important that we give focus as we're singing these songs and paying attention to the words that are coming out to get the full value of what it is we're doing. Now, this sermon is not going to be about the importance of the song service, which that's vitally important. This sermon is not even going to be about the importance of maintaining our mental focus during the worship assembly, but that's vitally important too. But what I thought we would do this morning, since that scripture talks about how our songs teach and admonish us, I want to use the song that we just sang, "Take Time to Be Holy," to actually see what lessons and admonishment that we can actually get from that song that we just went through. Before I do that, though, first and foremost, let's establish what our standard of holiness is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 15, it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, it says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And so there is a requirement of holiness for all of God's people. First of all, it says, as the one who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. That means this standard of holiness applies to every single thing that we should do in our lives. It should impact every area of our life. And it's the standard, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It's a condition for eternal life because it says without it, no one will see the Lord. So there is a mandate for all of God's children to be holy. So now the question is, based on the song that we sang, Take Time to Be Holy, what can we learn from that in terms of meeting this standard or expectation of holiness that God has for us? So the first thing that we need to know is, according to the song, there's actually a need to take the time to be holy. According to the song in verse number 2, where it says, take time to be holy, the world rushes on. I talked to a couple of you all after Bible class this morning, and one of the things we talked about is just how many distractions exist in the world today. There are a multitude of things that are just vying to take your time and your attention away from the Lord. The biggest culprit, probably this thing right here. I don't know about you all, but this is one of the biggest vices that I think that we all have, because the problem is I have it everywhere I go. See, it used to be back when we were addicted to watching television. Television was only a vice as long as you were home. Guess what? Now I can take my TV with me on my phone. All of these streaming services that we have, I can watch football anywhere I am. I don't know about you all, but I have apps on my phone that I don't even know what they do. There are so many things that are available to us at our disposal to take our time, our attention, and our focus away from where it needs to be. I'm old enough to remember a time where there were less than half a dozen TV stations. Y'all remember that? In fact, many of the broadcast TV networks, they would stop their programming at a certain time at night. Usually around 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, the TV stations would go off and you'd get that multicolored screen that come across that says broadcast temporarily suspended or something like that. And as a young child, that was my signal. All right, I guess I should go to bed now. Now, not only do you have 24-hour TV service, you have all of these different means that you can get TV from. You got all these different cable packages. You got all of these streaming services. It's to the point now I can't even keep up with them in terms of which service do I need and what does this service do? And it seems like every month there's a new streaming service that comes out. All of these things are vying for our time and attention. And so one of the things that we need to realize is in all of this busyness, in all of this activity, there is a need to take the time to be holy. In James chapter number 4, verse 13, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, we can get so caught up and consumed in all of the things that are around us that before you know it, moments, they pass by and they slip away. For those of you who have raised adult children, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, where it seems like you blinked your eyes and now they're adults, some of them with families of their own. And you find yourself asking the question, where did the time go? Seems like it was just yesterday when they were running around the house, breaking stuff, and I was getting frustrated with them. And now those moments are lost. And so when it comes to our spiritual life, it's the same principle. If we don't stop and take the time, then we will lose those opportunities And before you know it, the time will be gone. Scripture says, what is our life? It's but a vapor. It's here one moment, and the next moment it passes on. Another reason why it's important to actually stop and take the time to be holy is because being holy takes time. It's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. In fact, in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. So holiness is something that is to be pursued on a continual basis. I want to put back in your memory the verse that we read in the very beginning from 1 Peter when it talked about be holy in all of your conduct. This is an all-consuming thing. It's not something that you can just practice on Sunday morning and think that you've met the requirement. It's a continual process where we have to be deliberate about this on a regular and consistent basis to meet this requirement of holiness. I use the example of when I was on active duty. We used to have to do a fitness test. So all of the service members or former service members, you all know the whole routine about doing the fitness test. And they would always tell us, you guys can't neglect your diet and exercise all year round and then work out a couple of times before your fitness test and think you're going to pass this thing. You actually have to have a continuous year-round regimen and lifestyle change dedicated to diet, nutrition, and fitness if you want to master this test. Well, holiness is the same way. Holiness isn't something that you could just put to the side for a little while and then start thinking that you can just build back up to it and get to a certain level to meet the expectation. Holiness is something that's got to be worked on continuously. Using the same aspect of when I would prepare for my fitness test, I would do my annual fitness test, and then as soon as I would finish, I would set a goal for myself that the next year I wanted to get an even higher mark than what I got the previous year, meaning I wasn't satisfied with the results. And if I go back and look at my history of all of my fitness tests, every year my run time would get faster and faster and faster and faster. Why? Because I was committed to a process of pursuing a standard of being better. Our pursuit of holiness has got to be the same way, to where we're never content to feel like we've achieved enough, to where we're always asking the question of what more can be done. So we need to take the time to be holy because it's a process that takes time. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so this speaks back to the aspect of this is something that requires our constant focus. Because here's the thing. If we get to a place to where we think we've achieved a certain level and now we begin to rest on our laurels, guess what happens? We begin to lapse. I use the same example of in a exercise routine. If you get your exercise performance up to a certain level, what happens if you miss 2 or 3 weeks of your workouts? You begin to regress, don't you? And then all of the work that you put in, you lose ground and you have to start all over again from a lower place to build back up just to where you were. Well, our pursuit of holiness is very similar. It's something that we have to be dedicated to on a continual basis to meet the requirement and expectation that's set for us. So it is important in all of the chaos and craziness of life that we identify that there is, number one, a need to take the time to be holy. So along with that, what are some of the ways that we can actually take the time to be holy? Well, according to the song, some of the things that were identified is we're encouraged to, number one, speak off with the Lord. And so that speaks to our prayers and our devotions. Additionally, it says, abide in him always and feed on his word. In our kitchen at home, on one of our walls, there's a picture of a little girl holding the Bible, and she's eating a page from the Bible, and it says, "You are what you eat." Now, I'm not saying you need to start eating the paper out of your Bible, but the connotation is that we need to be looking at the scriptures for our nourishment and our fulfillment. That's one of the things that we can do in terms of when we do take time from all of the chaos and craziness, spending time in God's word. That's one of the things that we can do when it says abide in him always. We abide in him through being immersed in his word. We're also encouraged, it says, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone, abiding in Jesus. When it says spend much time in secret, it's not talking about we have to hide to be with Jesus. What it means is we need to be in a solitary place where we won't be disrupted, where we won't be disturbed, where it can be just us alone with our time with Jesus. Parents with children that are still in the home, how difficult is it for you to have a conversation with your spouse when your kids are around? You probably can't get two sentences in without an interruption, can you? Well, it's the same way in your time with Jesus. If you allow yourself to be in an environment where you have distractions around you, guess what? Your time is going to be interrupted. So spend time in secret with Jesus alone. You know, we have an example of Jesus doing this very thing himself. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 35. And we'll see an example of how Jesus would actually take time alone by himself to be with his heavenly Father. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Even the Lord himself saw the significance and the value of having that solitary time alone to where he can go off by himself and commune with God. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it and say you got to get up early in the morning before the sun comes up and spend time. The premise is you need to have time that you can dedicate to the Lord uninterrupted without any disturbances. One of the reasons why Jesus would do that, you want to talk about someone that had a busy life. You think your day is busy. Try being in the shoes of Jesus in all of the things that he dealt with. He was so immersed in dealing with the needs of the people and teaching and preaching and healing people that he hardly had any time during those moments just to be alone. In fact, on one occasion when he was going to perform a miracle where the ruler of the synagogue, I believe his daughter, was sick, and he was trying to get Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter, someone else stopped Jesus in the crowd along the way because they had a need of Jesus. And so Jesus, his life was full of people needing something from him. And so one of his practices was he would get up early because he knew the significance and the importance of having that quiet time to commune with the Heavenly Father. And so one of the ways that we can take time to be holy is finding that dedicated space in that time so we can have that solitude for prayer and fellowship with the Lord and being immersed in his word. And we have to protect that time. It's one of those things to where we need to make sure that to the best of our ability, we don't allow other things to come in and take away from that time, because I will promise you that there are external just things in our environment that are just vying for your attention, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning. There's so many distractions, many of them right in the palm of our hands in that communications device. And so it's important that we find that time to be alone. You know, another aspect of something we can do to take time to be holy, not only is spending time with the Lord, but what about spending time with other believers? What about our time that we come together and have fellowship with one another? Or what about just visitation with one another, just to encourage each other, just to lift one another up, even do a study with one another? I look at the example in the book of Acts. In chapter number 2, in verse number 42, it says, talking about the early church, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." This was actually something that they did daily. They would gather together in one another's homes, and they would just have fellowship with one another. And it says, "And they continued in the apostles' doctrine," which means what were they doing? They were encouraging one another in the word. And then they were having fellowship and just general encouragement and nourishment of one another. And so something that we can also do using their example in our pursuit of holiness is, how do we leverage our relationship with one another? See, we talked about in Bible class this morning the love we're supposed to have for one another, and we show our love through our joining together. Well, guess what? Our joining together also can help us in our pursuit of holiness as well, too, because all of us are working towards the same thing and towards the same goals. And so we talked about the need to take the time to be holy. We talked about ways that we can actually spend time so we can work on our pursuit of holiness. Let's talk about the benefits of taking the time to be holy. First and foremost is, according to the song, it says, "Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul," which means there's a certain peace that comes with taking time and having that solitude. We already talked before about all of the chaos of life and all of the distractions. You ever get to a place to where you just feel like everything is just so stressful and chaotic around you, you don't know whether you're coming or going? It's something I can relate to. And what I'm learning is, part of it in terms of managing that chaos and managing all of the stress and trials of life, it comes with spending that quiet time alone with the Lord. In fact, it's something that we should look forward to where it's like, in the midst of all of the other struggles that we have, that, you know what, I have my quiet time with the Lord. And in this quiet time, that's where I can have my refreshing and my nourishment. In Psalms 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Emphasize the part where it says, "Great peace have those who love your law." You want to have peace in your life? You want to have tranquility? Immerse yourself in God's word and pursue those things that you find in God's word. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, but my peace." See, there is no true peace that can be found in this world. True peace comes only through our Lord. And one of the ways that we can have access to that is through his word and through our times of commune and fellowship with him. You know, another aspect in terms of a benefit of having that dedicated time is that we become more and more like Jesus. The song says, "Like him thou shalt be." We already looked at his example, how he would take time by himself to go off and pray. In fact, there were situations where he would send his disciples away. Why? Because he needed that time so he could be refreshed. You know, I'll just tell you, there's times where, you know, when you give, right, and you pour into other people, that can be depleting, where you feel like, I just have no energy. Y'all ever feel like that? Where it's like, I'm just so tired. I'm running around. I'm doing all these things for other people. But I find that one of the sources, well, actually the source of refreshing, I don't always take advantage of. And so when it comes to the benefits of why it's important for us to take the time, not only does it help us to meet God's expectation of holiness, but it's good for us too. That's how we recharge. That's how we re-energize. You ever spend just like several hours just immersed in scripture and studying, and you walk away feeling refreshed and renewed? There have been times where even late at night when I'd be tired, but I'd spend several hours working on a Bible lesson, and even though it's late at night, now I feel renewed. I feel reinvigorated. Or I wake up early in the morning because I have to finish a lesson topic that I'm working on. And even though I got up at maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, after I get done working on that lesson, I feel energized now. So there's that renewal that comes along as one of the benefits of us actually taking the time to do what God has instructed us to do. Isn't it funny how that works out? You do the thing that God tells you to do, and it actually works out on your behalf. Almost as if he knew what he was doing when he told us to do it, huh? Interesting. In Luke chapter number 6, verse number 40, it says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." If the Lord Jesus himself had a need to actually have dedicated time so he could go off and just be alone, what makes us think that we don't have an even greater need to do that? And so as we reflect on the words of that song, we realize that, number one, there is a need for us to just stop and slow down, take the time to be holy, spend time abiding in the Lord, in time, secret time with Jesus alone, and then we see all of the benefits and the blessings that we can receive. You know, it's interesting, when I was thinking about a sermon topic, you know, I actually took an idea from David, because several times I've seen him actually take a song and present it as a sermon. Then I got to thinking, I was like, well, that's actually what the scripture says that we're supposed to do. And so let's reflect on, as we are in the assembly, are we really focused on what it is that we're not only doing, but the things that we're singing, to take full advantage of the admonishment that we get through our hymns? If you have any needs this morning, if you're not a child of God, we bid you to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have already become a child of God and maybe you have fallen away or fallen short in your own life and you need to be restored, or if you are in need of any encouragement this morning, we bid you to come and bring your petitions as we together stand and sing.